You're listening to Mockingbird. This recording was made at the 8th Annual Mockingbird Conference, held at Calvary St. George's Church in New York City.
And a warm welcome back to all of you after lunch and an amazing morning. And so we're ready to begin for an amazing afternoon. And I want to start it off with just a little devotion and a prayer, and then we'll move into the talks. I've been reading about a small town where there is a church that does a reenactment of the crucifixion every Good Friday, and everyone in the church gets involved. And one year, they picked the roughest guy in the church to play the role of Jesus. And a lot of people thought that he was not the greatest choice. This guy was big, and he was tough, and he had a kind of a Marine Corps drill instructor body, sort of a Charles Bronson face. He made T.D. Jakes look like a pussycat. You would not want to get on his bad side. And other people in the church played the part of the mob that followed Jesus on the road to the cross. And there was, as the man playing Jesus was carrying the cross, one parishioner in the crowd really got into his part. And so he shouted, "Crucify!" at the top of his lungs. And then he got right in the face of the man playing Jesus. And he hollered, "Crucify him!" And he screamed so loudly that some of his spit just got onto the face of Jesus. And right there and then, in the middle of the pageant, Jesus stopped. And he put down the cross. And he turned to that man. And he said to him, "I will see you after the resurrection." So I'm just wondering whether there's some little part of you or me that's just a little concerned that when we get to the pearly gates, we're going to be met by somebody with that tone of voice. Wondering whether that scene speaks to some kind of a little subtle ominous fear that we sometimes have. That when we get before the Son of God after the resurrection, the topic may focus a little bit more on judgment than on mercy. That little fear that after the resurrection, there's going to be a slightly steely-eyed Jesus telling us that it's time to pay the piper. And if there's any of that little subtle dread in you, then let me give you a little picture of what it's really going to be like after the cross and after the resurrection. In my church, there is a separate congregation of Hispanic folk, and there's another priest on our staff who's the pastor for that congregation. And in that congregation, one Sunday, a new family began to attend our worship. And the family consisted of a single mother in her 30s named Sonia, a 12-year-old daughter named Jenny, and a 10-year-old son named Benny. And the mother, Sonia, was attractive and articulate and friendly, and she seemed genuinely grateful for the worship, and her son Benny was a delightful, bouncy boy. But Sonia's daughter, Jenny, was different. Jenny is autistic, and on the first Sunday that this family came to church, all of us learned about Jenny's autism right away. Jenny is unable to speak any words or to have any coherent interaction with anyone except her mother. And she's also very unpredictable in her behavior. She'll sit quietly one minute. She will hug her mother fiercely the next minute. She will pull her mother's long hair the next minute. She'll kick the pew in front of her in the next minute. And she'll bolt down the aisle the next minute. And what really got our attention that first Sunday was the fact that Jenny also makes loud noises, really loud. She yells, she yips, she barks, and she shouts. And the first time she yelled, the entire congregation just levitated about 3 inches off the pews. And the yelling continued throughout the entire service. Well, on the third Sunday that this family worshiped, I looked over at Sonia as the service was ending, because in that service, I just get to sit in the pews. And Sonia was hanging on to Jenny, who was straining to get loose, and tears were pouring down Sonia's cheeks. and I knew why she was crying. She was crying because she was being fed by the worship there, and she knew she couldn't stay. And it was because Jenny was disrupting the service so completely. Jenny represented the fact that Sonia could not clean up her family's act on her own strength, and that there was some steely-eyed Jesus around the corner. I had no idea what to do. But fortunately, the real crucified and risen Jesus did. As Sonia sat there crying, another woman in the pews, another single mom, a woman named Hilda, a member of the church, got up. And Hilda walked over to Sonia and knelt down in front of her and took her hands and started crying herself. And then through her tears and with some fierceness, Hilda said to Sonia, "Don't you dare not come to this church. Don't you dare not worship Jesus with us. Don't you dare not let us be your friends. Don't you dare leave." Jenny and Sonia stand for all the times in which you and I have not been able to make it happen on our own through the law, all the times we couldn't clean our own slates. And Hilda, she wasn't just nudged by Jesus at that moment. She was Jesus kneeling before Sonia. And he's kneeling before us now. And he's saying, "Don't you dare not let me die for you, just as you are. Don't you dare not let me forgive you and welcome you. Don't you dare not let me clean your slate for you." Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you now for Jim Gilmore and Will McDavid. We thank you for these brothers in Christ, and we ask you to speak through them of your amazing grace in cleaning our slates for us after we just can't do it ourselves. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.